So he's like, "Oi, what the?" Huh. Now, okay, now Titch. So
steps back.
Now we have a problem.
Yeah. So he what he's trying to do is book it in another direction across country. Now I don't know what you want to do, but this is definitely, you get the impression this isn't 100% voluntarily.
Trip him.
That's exactly what I was doing. I would love it if he was stabbed in one leg and he could only go in a circle now because one leg is going faster than the other.
Well, I mean, it's just a tiny dart, right?
Somewhere in the distance, you hear,
yip, 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 yip.
No, just kidding. Are you trying to trip him, Titch?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead and make, let's see. This is attack roll, I think.
Yeah, it's a shoving attack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's like medication, like PCP. Exactly, Rudinal. It's that kind of medication.
Would it still be using my spear?
I would think so, yeah, because you're using it to not, you know, pierce him with it, but to trip him with it.
Right, so we won't consider this piercing damage. It'll be 14.
14 is enough. So, actually, let me have him make a dexterity check and saving throw and see if he stays on his feet.
Well, I mean, but does he like get disadvantage or something because he's like basically on drugs?
Or does he get hyper advantage because he's
so much advantage? He gets more advantage
because people get more dexterous, the more agitated they are.
No, but they think they do. Yes. I'm the top of the world. Okay. You rolled a just a 14, or that was the full attack, right? The 14.
That was a 14. Was a full attack.
Okay. So, so he does not. So he basically goes, he sort of like takes a step and then, and goes flying, and just
face first into the rock.
Yeah. Not into the rock, but onto the road, and just lies still. And so you sort of, the hobbits, everyone just sort of stands staring for a minute. And then very slowly, the donkey turns around. Like slowly moves the cart, pulling it behind him, walks over, slowly, step by step,
twice,
puts one hoof on top of the man's back, and then doesn't move.
Granny would like walk up to the guy and like, you know, pinch him to see if he, you know, is like properly passed out.
Unconscious.
Perfect.
Also, the donkey's not putting his weight on him. He's just sort of like, it's the Captain Morgan thing where he's got his leg up, right? You know, he's got the...
Coriander, my dear, would you be so kind and tie our friend here up?
And the hobbits say...
Coriander's eyes light up!
Coriander flies to the side of the guy.
Can I just draw our attention to the fact that, you know, the light that is currently filling this room, I wish for you to all bear in mind that this is the angelical sparkle that Coriander carries about her at all times. Always angelic, innocent, haloed, as it were, with light. Anyway, Coriander's eyes become like the heart eyes, or no, the star eyes emoji, as she
like from Steven Universe. The inspired star eyes.
Indeed. So she is like, yes, Granny, and she is the most dutiful granddaughter ever, and she goes and does exactly as she's told.
As she does this, the four hobbits are, first of all, thanking all of you profusely and clapping you on the back, and then one of them says to you, Titch, like, oh, since you're the bounder, as you said, like, you got to take charge of this one. What's to be done? He's got to face some punishment for doing this. He must have been waiting there off the side of the road. I thought that old Rosie here was acting odd, and then all of a sudden she just up and runs. And the donkey's like...
Yeah, well, you see this little dart here that our dear little Rosie was struck with was laced with an agitate...
Oh, what now? Edge of what?
The opposite of a good night tea, basically.
Oh.
An adjunct. No,
that's not right. No, that means, that would be if he wasn't getting paid properly and he was getting, you know, just ignored and they had no governance. That's an adjunct. Oh, sorry. I'm just throwing a little bit of a teaching union. That was a little inside higher education joke for all you lovely people. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you guys were set up by our sleepy friend down there.
No, but why would he go after us? And the
that I don't know.
The other one says, well, that's pretty obvious, Dad. You got this thing, a 3-stone in here. He might be able to take some of it for himself. He would have robbed us blind for all of it. We just got unlucky. We were the first ones through.
And she'd like put something in
there. Right? Do you put the leaf back that you would take?
No.
No one would do that. We were going to help the children of the poor with this. You're like, right.
Yes, help the local orphans. Give them tobacco. That's how that works.
It's really good tobacco.
Just the profits. You're just helping them with the profits. That is all. Nothing wrong with tobacco blood money. So having dispatched this guy, so to speak, they basically say, Titch, that you're, you know, what are you going to do with this guy? He needs to be brought to the authorities, blah, blah, blah.
So Titch shows them how to use some of the rope that they almost certainly have.
Oh, yeah, they have rope.
To bind it, basically spindle it around the axle very, very tightly so that it acts almost like a cast for a broken bone. And that should hold it long enough to get it to the cartwright or the wheelwright or whomever.
Right.
Because it won't make it all the way to like Michelle Delving, but it'll make it to like the closest garage or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, and then make sure that you check this guy, make sure he didn't, gather any of your crop while he was, you know, sweet talking you, and then hand him into the local authorities. Make sure that you point out where this dart hit your animal here, and preferably one of the darts as well.
Aye, the sheriff would be there for him. We'll do that. Look, we don't have a lot of money yet, but we will once this thing comes through and once we've had a chance to dry. Look, will you take, but maybe you could take some of that. You were the one who found it out, and they bring over a few, they take a few leaves and they bring it over to your granny, and they're like, look, you really helped us out. Here, it's our pleasure to give you some of these leaves, as they give you 3 more of the leaves that you already took one of.
Oh, I couldn't possibly, and she stops.
And she's good, yeah.
Really? I couldn't, could I? They try to give each of you actually one of the leaves. Each leaf is a big leaf. So
she'll take one.
Okay.
Coriander accepts hers and then, like, quite sneakily, and stealthily wrinkles her nose and hands it over to Granny instead.
Just like lets it vanish in Granny's bag, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Cal, do you take yours? That they are.
I absolutely accept it. I have pipes as a proficiency, whatever. So I'm gonna be smoking that at some point.
Okay.
Well, it's a cultural proficiency, so all of the audience have that.
It's just a thing. So okay.
And I also give them detailed directions to the local wheelwright and the sheriff's office, so they can get to both.
They thank you for that. And they also tell you that when you're on your way up to Oatbarton, to be aware that Oatbarton is particularly famous for its luncheons, that its luncheons are not to be missed, they say.
is that first luncheon or second luncheon?
Well, all luncheons, first and second lunch. They are lunch specialists.
So do they just club people over the heads up there?
And he sort of gives you this weird look.
Not bludgeon, luncheon.
No, the baton that you hit someone with. It would just, I mean, are they famous for those?
And Bilbo's like, oh, you mean the club? Oh, no, shh. No, we're not supposed to talk about that. No, that's not our discussion. That's supposed to be
truncheon. Sick. Truncheon, that's what I'm thinking
of. Oh, and they sort of say, well, some of the bounders use those, but no, it's just a lunch. A lunch, they say. Not the same thing as drunch. And the donkey's like,
Titch is honing his stand-up comedian routine. He's trying to develop a type 5.
With reading the room well.
With a bit of extra work, they manage to get the donkey turned around. By this point, the man is recovered enough that they're able to stand him up, and he sort of stumbles along behind him. But Titch, you can see him glaring at you, just you know, the most angry glare you could possibly imagine in your direction.
He's gonna luncheon you.
Gentlemen, I don't suppose you happen to have a spare rope with you, since we happen to use one of ours on this gentleman over here.
And they nod and say, oh, of course, and they toss you one, which is You know, in pretty good condition, you would say. It does smell a bit of tobacco, but otherwise,
oh no,
it's definitely
horrible. Yeah, I know. Granny hates that.
Yeah, I'd be totally broken up about that, I would imagine. And other than that, they send you on your way. By the way, this is a good moment to pause and say welcome to everyone. We're going to be going for another 15, 20 minutes. You are watching day 5 of Shire Adventures. This is called Expert Treasure Hunters, and it is sponsored by Free League. And in case you've been having fun, first of all, that's because the players are amazing. But beyond that, you should also type in exclamation point play LOTR if you would like to be able to find out more about where you can get this very system, which is officially released today by our sponsors, by Free League. So if you want a copy of this book, which is available at DriveThruRPG, and it's also available directly from them, and wherever finer tabletop supplements are sold, please make sure to get them and let them know that they found you found them through us, because I'm sure the sponsors would like to know that their stuff is being showcased in a positive way. But I'm joined, as always, by Amal, by Brad, by Tari, and by Tren. And we will be here for, as I say, another 15 minutes or so. We will have this crew mostly with us for ARVCon at the end of the month, my charity convention to support the Damon Running Cancer Research Foundation. Not Amal, because Amal will be on retreat, but we'll talk about the how narratively that works in a little while. Okay. The rest of your trip for the next day to about the next day and a half or so, as I said, it's about two and a half days to get to Oatbarton, proceeds relatively uneventfully. You meet no more carts or mules or evil men along the way. And as you cross up the Northway Road, I would say if you could bring your tokens up to about here, please.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
What if there was like a party token for like maps like
oh,
this,
damn
so
it.
That we wouldn't need yeah, right. to do that anymore?
I forgot.
That you way you don't have to have Titch looking afraid to, you know.
Yeah. Hold on. I yes, that is a good point. All right, hang on a second. This
he goes
is,
out
of
my
course,
way to make this more streamlined. Greg just sticks to his guns.
Yeah, I know. Listen, old habits die hard. That's the party token that we're talking about here.
There's some meaning behind Coriander not having her token on the map, but I can't quite figure out what it is.
Okay. So, as you are moving your way up, it is closing in on midday of the third day. So basically been a little over 2 days as you've been going in a very leisurely way up the Northway with Bilbo telling stories and singing and, you know, whistling and every so often mentioning how good it is. Of course, Bilbo also took several leaves of this stuff and also mentioning, you know, how good these leaves will be when they're dried and talking about the finer bits with Granny, the finer bits of tobacco smoking, occasionally pointing out features in the landscape and asking Cal whether he thinks that would be a good place for, you know, a given, like he's been thinking of building up a storehouse for certain items and would that be a good place to put the storehouse or like maybe there for a warehouse and like how does that work with the contours of the map and blah, blah, blah. And all this thing. And of course, praising all of you repeatedly at the way that you handled, you know, that ruffian, that layabout, as he refers to him, as this person that you did this with. And about midday of the third day, you catch sight of the first houses of Oatbarton. As I said, it's spring, so the last hints of winter are still there. And as you are, just even before you take your first steps into this cobblestone courtyard that serves as the heart of the village, you catch the scent of roast chicken and potatoes. They waft through the air, and it is, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. I'm thinking not of chicken, but of cinnamon buns. If you've ever been like past a bakery that maybe this only works, I guess, if you really love cinnamon buns like I do. But try to think of something that is the most delicious thing you can imagine and remember the idea of it having had a certain scent. This is the thing that sort of it smells spectacular is what it smells like.
We've already made the fox hungry several minutes ago. Now we made a rudinel hungry.
This is what I'm doing.
To be roasting a chicken tonight, but sadly, because of the timing of this session, that is probably not going to happen.
Oh,
no. I'm super mad at this roast chicken. It's potatoes.
Damn it! Okay, I'm sorry about... So you just, I can't, you know, you find this terrible smelling stuff that doesn't appetize you at all. No, it does actually smell pretty good. And you can see what are obviously a lot of, you can see kind of sun-kissed, let's put it that way, hobbits sitting around, gathered in the center of the village for their lunch. A lot of what you would assume are the hardworking farmers of Oatbarton sitting at long tables, and they are shaded by large pavilions and tents and things like that. And when you come in, the few of them are there, and, hey, look at this, we got more of them. You don't look like you're from around here. Where are you from? And says to the three hobbits first.
Hobbiton?
If they were actually kissed by the sun, they would be vaporized. So no, they're not Oompa-Loompa. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you say Hobbiton?
Yes.
Oh, like up very, by Hobbiton.
Like with a certain tone of like, why the fuck would you be asking me this?
Okay. Oh, Hobbiton. All right. Well, that's not so bad then. And what about you? You look like you guard for somewhere. Must be from Bree. Oh, he looks like from Bree. Are you from Bree? All right.
We're
well,
a delivery from Bree. So
you have a delivery from Bree. All right.
No.
Well, he's like starts to head you down.
I'm a notary from Bree. Didn't you hear what she said? You've been.
I heard something about
truncheons again.
Three from Bree. And they say, well, sit down,
that
sit down.
That was out of character. I said that he is wearing the livery from Bree.
Wearing the livery from Bree, okay. I liked it. I think it's more funny, though, that they thought it was delivery.
Of course,
from Bree.
But like, I didn't do the voice.
That's true, you didn't. So they actually call you over, and there are actually five spots. And now, so far, they've only seen the four of you. But when Bilbo steps out from behind you, that, huh! It's Bilbo Baggins, it is. Oh, it's from the Shire. Bilbo Baggins.
Crack the guillotine.
Bilbo Baggins. Bilbo Baggins. So they're all like, Bilbo Baggins. Oh, is they Bilbo Baggins? And there's a couple of young kids who were there. Who's Bilbo Baggins? I know Bilbo Baggins.
How many others are there?
They're just like, they are like, you are clearly in the presence of celebrity. The rest of you are forgotten for a moment. And then Bilbo, who chats with them kindly and hands a penny or two to the young ones. And then they say, you know, well, please sit down, sit down. And they invite the five of you, four plus Bilbo, to sit at the table for this roast chicken and potatoes. And I should say that it's not just one. They bring out a tray of multiple roast chicken
ostrich.
And multiple potatoes, actually an entire what looks like a massive wooden bowl of cooked potato that they bring out. There's also huge slabs of butter on the table and like all this business. There's also rolls and the whole bit. And
well, don't mind if I do.
And they start
so they just walks up there.
Hand these plates around to everybody so that you can start eating if you wish.
Yeah, I'll dig in.
Yes.
Okay.
Who says no to, like, what kind of hobbit who's right in their mind says no to free food? Excuse me.
So,
walk out of this room and towards somewhere where I can have chicken and potato.
So, what's your business this far north then? You're a little far away from Hobbit in there.
Well, our business until just earlier was to help somebody fix their cart.
Oh, but that isn't what would lead all five of you. I mean, Bilbo Baggins and the other three of you, and then this guard from Bree. I mean, that's an unusual party. Oh, yeah, it's an unusual party. I haven't seen anything. It reminds me. You know, so there's like back and forth discussion. But they're very anxious to know why you've come this way.
Well, the big guy here is hunting for a bear, apparently.
And they nod like, oh. Go ahead, Cal. I'll come back.
I was just asking whether or not we had determined with Bilbo whether or not we wanted to advertise anything about our trip and if we came up with a backstory ahead of time.
I think it's reasonable. I think it's reasonable for them they'll certainly, you know, presumably if you wanted to ask questions about local history, like the history of what is Kingsworthy and what is all that stuff, if they know anything about, like, you know, Bull Roarer took, like, general questions. Like, Bilbo didn't say we must be utterly silent, but yeah, probably would have been like, we should try to get some information, but without, you know, revealing too much.
All right, well, so Cal is going to say, our friend Titch here from Bree, he's only recently arrived, and we decided it would be good and neighborly and fun for us, too, to show him around, you know, the North Farthing a little bit around the Shire.
And
so here we are.
And he says, Oh, I see. Normally, the men of Bree usually stay right there. It's good that you're so curious about us, he says to you, Titch. Right. and sort of like, he says...
Are you like shovel, shovel, shovel?
Yeah. And one of them says...
I was so close to going, does there happen to be a vegetarian option? No, I didn't get it. But yeah, he's got like half a potato stuffed in one cheek. It's like, you know, and then he's got like a drumstick sticking out of his mouth on the other side.
Cal throws in, he also wanted to sample the food. So this is a happy occurrence.
Oh, I came to the right place. He's fading away to a shadow. He is. They're all like elbowing each other. And they're like, well, and what about you? This one here, this young one needs to get some food in her. Otherwise, she's not going to be strong enough to get up on the table. We're going to need a song from the young one. That's the way it works, isn't it? And they all sort of nod at each other, and they look at you, Coriander, and they say, oh, wait, now you look... do you have any... You got some Tookish blood in you. You do.
Literally all the hobbits here.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's right.
I'm just gonna, are these hobbits being, like, uncommonly rude?
No. You get the impression that they have no particular, like, social filters are not part of their, like, thing. You get the impression that they all seem to mean well. They're just sort of like, hey, tell us everything about yourselves. Like,
you know. Almost like you're part of the family immediately.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly.
Chummy as they would with a family member.
Exactly.
So here's the funny thing about Coriander. Like, so as outgoing and as, you know, blithely unconcerned with like how she is received and stuff like that, as often evidenced by how she behaves around Titch and stuff. In a familial situation, she is actually very different. And she becomes under this kind of scrutiny, extraordinarily shy and starts to kind of like almost not quite wilt, but just sort of like become more small and is just trying to eat her food. But because they've commented on the fact that she's eating her food, she actually stops eating her food and is suddenly like just becoming very flushed and quiet and mumbles something about my parents are talk some. And then as soon, if there is like a second in which one of them like looks away, she will vanish. Like she will just like, even if it requires like going under the table and like away.
Okay. They probably do that.
So you guys want to hear a song then? And then Granny gets up and tries to divert the attention from Coriander.
Oi, oi, it's a song. And they're all like, you know, they kind of chuckle and laugh and
she will sing a song about
sixpence.
Oh, like one of those classic folk songs, basically. The ones that like where everybody can sing the chorus along, you know.
The music stops.
The music stops.
to make this happen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she does that. Like I'm not gonna sing right now.
Oh well, okay, fine. I'll turn the music back on.
The second Coriander disappears, Titch reaches over and grabs her plate and pulls it over to his side. Just shoves like a bunch of green beans in it. It's like watching Lilu Dallas feast on chicken. I mean, it's just gone.
Yeah. It's amazing. As you are singing this song, so they're all sort of like into it, and one of you leans over to Cal and Titch. Titch unable to respond because mouth is full of food, but sort of leans over in Cal's general direction and says, because since Coriander has now vanished appropriately under the table, says to Cal,
look, you know, can't take us the wrong way. We're just finding things out. Mostly, we don't usually see any of these folks from down south. That's all. So we were just curious. I actually got relatives by the Hobbiton. It's a pretty place down there. Here, people are, well, they're decent people once you get to know them, really.
And do we know the purpose of this gathering at this point?
Seems like they're just having their midday lunch, you know, basically in between farming work.
Well, okay. So if Cal says, well, we're very grateful. This is excellent, excellent food. And thank you for having us at your table.
It's our
you know, and Tooch agrees. And you know, I'm a messenger, as it happens. I go here, I go there, I bring messages wherever they need to go. I deliver packages, but along the way I like to collect tales. And I've heard a bit about Bulroar Took, and I just wonder, you must know a fair bit about him around here.
I will let you make either an investigation or a persuasion check. You can choose what you like.
While he's rolling out
persuasion,
Titch manages.
I just kind of keep him talking.
Okay.
Swallow he comes up with food. Okay. He finally is able to. Does she actually roar at Bulroar?
He says, well, there's a tale. And he says, oh yeah, Bulroar. Well, that's a pretty big story, obviously, around there.
Miranda like peeks out from wherever she is and is just kind of like raising
up
her scope, and it's just like
did Granny, by the way, successfully distract the dudes from
Coriander?
She's
very much
behind Granny at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say, by the way, Coriander, that as you look out, you can see that the that there are kids, some of the Hobbit children, not too much younger than you, are out in a sort of a, I mentioned that there's this cobblestone, you know, square that the tables have been set up, and there's a field very nearby where a bunch of kids are there, and they seem to be running around, and it looks like they're, for want of a better term, hitting each other with a stick. And one of the people points over and he's like, the one that you're talking to, Cal. So you see this, Coriander, and Cal, you hear the guy say, yeah, well, it's been passed down, you know, for a while, that one over there. They play Bulroar's Club is what they call that. I love them, the children. I think that that's actually the club itself. And Coriander, now, of course, you don't know what the club looks like, but you're pretty confident it's not a fairly small stick with branches clearly still on it, you know, that doesn't seem to be able to do this. So these kids seem to be roughing each other up with this stick, but they're all laughing and apparently having a great time as this happens. And he says, yeah, it's said that, he say that Bulroar did all of his business with, you know, all the work he did with the goblins. You know, he invented golf, actually, don't you? But they say that it was Kingsworthy over there. And another one hears him, he's like, oh, talk about Kingsworthy. Yeah, Kingsworthy. He was asking about Bulroar. Well, yeah, Kingsworthy, if you want to go there, but if I were you, I wouldn't go that way. And the other one's like, ah, why? Like, you know why. And the other one kind of, meh, that's nonsense anyway.
Cal looks like confused and says, well, why is that? Why wouldn't you want to go there?
And the other one says, well, I need you to make another persuasion check for me, please, Cal.
Okay.
Can,
Titch could, go ahead, Titch, you tell me.
I was going to say, can Titch's stuffed mouth curiosity give him advantage?
I wouldn't say advantage, but if Titch, I will let Titch make this persuasion too, if Titch, if you word the question a certain way. So you heard Cal ask the question, so you could be like, yeah, like, you know, I don't know, something that...
I was going to say, because Titch is
well, you tell me. You tell me, but you can, if you think of a question to ask that's along those lines, I can let you do this persuasion also.
Well, I have advantage when dealing with hobbits and persuasion anyway. So.
Okay.
Oh,
Has helped you a lot thus far, huh?
Yeah.
So go ahead, Cal and Titch, both of you can.
I also have folklore, so I'm wondering if I can kind of tease the question a little bit by, I don't know, you know, quoting a little bit about, a little more about what I know about Bulroar and,
Ooh.
Natural 20.
Whoa. Apparently so. Double natural 20.
What?
Wow.
Nice.
They're just like, you need to be the mayor of the city. Give him every chicken. Every chicken.
Oh,
all
yeah,
chickens.
Oh,
no chicken left behind.
No
leave.
Chicken left behind.
He would never leave.
Oh my God. Okay. So that's good. I do need Cal to make his check as well. That's really impressive. That's me. I think what it is that Titch is so incredibly interesting and persuasive that they kind of forget about you for a minute. He's like, yeah, anyway.
They all swivel their heads to Titch. Like, they don't even hear my question.
So they tell you actually two things, Titch. One of them says, first of all, well, yeah, if you want to go up there, you can, but I wouldn't. It's abandoned at Kingsworthy. It's still there, about a day's travel into the North Moors. You got to go north, though, over that land, and that's not easy. I hear some weird things are about over there. And the other one says, yeah, well, the truth is, and they get their voice very quiet so that only the four of you. Bilbo seems to have been paying little attention, chatting it up with people on the other side of the table. And the other one says, there's more than that. I heard some rumors. There was one of them. You remember Bando, right? Yeah. Well, so Bando was in. He came back and said that he had heard some sounds coming from the place. They say that there's a ghost haunting the Kingsworthy. And I wouldn't want to be going and meeting no ghost, I can tell you that. And so everyone is sort of leaning in.
I was going to say, his Titch is like leaning way, way in, and he just grabs a biscuit.
Yeah, it's like, takes the biscuit back, lifts that, and then all of a sudden you hear, Granny! And from behind you, you hear a very familiar voice, Granny. It's
also
familiar to Coriander.
Oh no.
And you swivel,
see my daughter.
I was just about to say, you swivel your head to see a very, very displeased daughter of yours and mother of one Coriander took with her arms folded.
She's
got a Rosemary, that's right, who's got her cloak on, and has a walking stick.
Titch has like green beans sticking out of one corner of his mouth, and he's like, wait a minute, if she's your daughter, why do you call her Granny?
Coriander is not here. She is under a table.
She's under a table. And so she says to you, Granny, where's Coriander Took?
Well, hi, sweetie. How are you doing? It's a wonderful day. Go sit. They have delicious chicken here.
Where's my daughter, mother?
And like, Granny actually looks around because she's also not entirely sure.
I think
Leander is actually still sitting there, but she probably didn't notice.
Make a perception check for me, please, actually.
Be contested.
Sure, make a stealth check.
Titch kind of leans down to Cal. It's like, what's your daughter, mother?
Never mind for now, Titch. We'll explain everything later.
What was the perception? Yes.
Oh, geez, that was a bad stealth roll.
Which is your... Oh, geez.
Very distracted by her very angry daughter.
I was gonna say that's assuming she's even still there.
Yeah. Well, she would have a hard time getting out though, because she's under the table and there's a bunch of hobbit legs. Is essentially jail bars at the moment.
Oh, she's in Granny's tobacco sack.
Yeah, exactly. Like hovered in the sack. So she's just like so you don't necessarily see her, although you know she was there a minute ago, Granny. You know, not that long ago, when you sang your song.
Sweetie, she is very clearly not here, so...
You've lost her?
My dear friends, have you met my daughter, Rosemary?
And Rosemary frowns and folds her arms and says, Mother, you're telling me you've lost Coriander?
No, I would never lose her.
Where is she?
Probably Coriander pops out, she can't bear it. It's like, it seems like Granny's about to be yelled at by her mom, she just pops out. She pops out from under the table. She's like, I'm just here.
So your mother's arms go wide. Her eyes go wide and her arms go wider. And she sweeps you up into this embrace. And she says, oh. And she says, she was right here all along, mother. Looking at you, Granny.
I knew that.
I left you a note.
And she says, Coriander... And gives you the full... Actually, you never told me what the middle name is, but I really hope that there are some other middle names we can throw in for no reason.
Yes, let me think about this. I think Sweetgrass. Coriander Sweetgrass.
Okay, so the full name is in effect. Coriander Sweetgrass Took. We have been asking to find you, to see you for the last day and a half, actually several days. Your father and I have been worried sick about you, and you, young lady, are in trouble. Because we had a guard visit us from the Michelle Delving. And they say there was a dog and Pepper and you. And she's like, she's got, no, at this point, all of the people around the tables, by the way, have all like, stopped. They're all like staring at this incredibly fascinating, like, you know, encounter.
Mommy, I think you've heard some rumors.
And Titch is just like, see?
Rumors or not, young lady, you have got some explaining to do.
But we I left you so many notes. Did you not find them? I left them everywhere. I left them in your nightstand and in the kitchen. And
with a frown, she reaches into her satchel and she pulls out a bundle of notes that you recognize. And another bundle of notes tied in a ribbon, which you also recognize as the notes that you studiously avoided reading every time you came in and left one of your own notes for your parents. And she held both of them and she said, you'll have plenty of time to read after we are done talking to you, young lady. You, and everyone's like, like every farmer, they're all, are grounded.
The camera zooms out.
And that's where we're going to bring our session to a close. The grounding of Coriander.
Oh, no.
We're going to bring our session to a close, but there will be more that will happen down the line. That was really, 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 really fun. I'm sorry for all of the delicious food I talked about in the meantime. We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. No, hell no, they weren't trying to reach about that. Good stuff, everybody. Really, really fun. And you have made your way on the way to Oatbarton. You also took out an animal abuser, that, you know, that was worth it. Yep. Oh yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Good stuff. And if you will, you Baggins the bad guy. Anyway, it was good times. Thank you, Dragon Spear. It was a great climax. Great playing by the players to get us to that stage. I will start using these squares here. I will start this time with Tren, and I will work around that way. So I'll start with you, Tren. You know, really fun stuff with Titch. I love the idea of the tea and the fact that Titch is always like the ultimate reluctant adventurer who goes on these things and is always like, ah, god damn it. Like, there's always like this sort of god damn it about Titch. But
he's the Eeyore of our group.
He's the Eeyore of the group. And the fact that Coriander, of course, like just resolutely pushes through the I'm frustrated with everybody makes that in particular a lot of fun. And I also like the idea that Titch definitely had some guard work to do with Mr. Roger Blackwood, who obviously meant some bad things. And maybe this has created a little bit of an enemy for Titch down the line back in Bree. But listen, you know, he knows this guy. If you hang out with Bill Fernie, you're not a good dude. We already talked about the whole animal abuse thing. So it all kind of fits together. But it was fun to see. And I was also having a lot of fun watching how much food you could cram into your mouth at one one Hobbit luncheon. How'd you feel about today's session? Where will the fine folks find you next?
Very much. I agree, Brad. He's kind of the Eeyore of the group, and he's also Shaggy. So he said, skinny dude that can just pack away food, and you have no idea what sort of orb of destruction there is in the middle of his body that just eats everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid the fact that I did provide you all a lot of meals after we had a whole bunch of referencing to herbs and leaves. I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm sure that none of them are related in any way to each other at all.
I'm glad that in its way we managed to resolve the bear issue
somewhat,
because yeah, it's just I love the fact that he's sort of got, he's not really in trouble, but he's the new guy, so he's the one who gets in trouble for stuff, you know.
Yeah,
just shit rolls downhill and whatnot.
I love the idea too of his commanders having conflicting information all the time with all these letters, like the hell is, like, Bilbo's like, he's a hero, and he's like, he stole something, like five other hobbits told me something differently. Like, would you people get your story straight? Like, you know.
And then there's probably somebody else in the guard shack who's like, have you met hobbits? No. Yeah. They're not gonna get their story straight.
Exactly.
Six hobbits can watch the same thing. You come up with 43 different stories. Anyway, you know where they think golf came from. So yeah, I love today. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I played Titch Applebaum, who, okay, might be sticking around for a little while. I'm also glad that we managed to resolve that little bit of stuff. And don't forget to, you know, check out your coins, to your your thing.
Yep.
Stuff. And yeah, I'm in the very near future going to be switching over to a nighttime schedule, because it's going to be time to start recording again. And I don't have a proper vocal booth, so I have to record at night, which means that my acoustic plug has to go back into my window again, which means no fresh air forever. But whatever. So yeah.
That's fresh air in California?
There, well, when it's not burn season, yes. And it was raining a fair bit recently. Oh. So yeah, the front yard is mostly thistles. Again, Eeyore, it all works out.
It's Thistle Yard, yep.
It's a rich tapestry. So yeah, that's as for where will people see me next? I believe here.
Yes, for
Saturday.
Saturday's Expedition, isn't it? I think Saturday's Expedition, not Eberron. But I need to check again to make sure that I'm
this coming Saturday, I mean. Don't we have two Eberron sessions this month?
We do, but here, hang on a second.
One of them is in Arvcon, one is in...
Yeah, but that's right, but hold on, just look at my calendar.
That's a guy. I was going to look at it too, but it never works right for me. You have to go forward a month. And then back a month, and then it lines up.
No, 13th is Expedition, 20th is Eberron.
Well, fine, whatever. I didn't want to talk to you anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Shut up.
Yeah, there have been...
Oh, wait, for you, it's the 20s. I'm like, because right. I'm looking at the calendar right now, but because of the time zone
difference, like yeah.
It says Sunday for me for Eberron, mm-hmm. So, yep. Because it's like 1:30 a.m.
Yep. No, it is, Eberron is on the 20th, I have it. And then, yes, you'll be back for the 28th, of course, with the amazingness of Arvcon that you'll be part mm-hmm. of in several mm-hmm. levels. So mm-hmm. actually, poor Tren is always involved, is going to be doing Saturday for 3 hours, and then Sunday Marathon, Sunday. But it should be a good time, and it's for a good cause, and I'm grateful. So thank you, Tren. Always a pleasure. And again, you folks need to check out Tren's audiobook of Greyshade. Yes, that's slightly self-serving, because that's obviously good for Greyshade, but he really did a wonderful job with that book. So
we need to get me nominated for an Audie.
Yes, he needs to be nominated for an Audie. Seriously.
I don't know how that would actually happen. So
I was going to say, I don't even know how that works, but we need to figure it out. Anyway, always a pleasure. Thank you, Tren. Moving right along, Tari, lovely stuff from Granny today. First of all, we had Granny dealing with, Roger Blackwood stabbing him, I think seemed very appropriate. I was waiting to see if that was going to happen with the needle at some point. Obviously, mm-hmm. Granny's knowledge came into play on multiple occasions with the tobacco leaves, with the medicine checks on the stuff that was used, this adjutant, as I referred to it. And then, of course, trying to deal with the, hi, good to see you, my daughter. I love the fact that I was like, said that, and immediately everyone's like, oh, no. Oh, that's bad. Very, 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 very bad. And all that stuff. So it was very eventful, I would say, for Granny one way or the other. How'd you feel about today's session?
Who the real villain was Rosemary all along.
It was all along, exactly. How'd you feel about today, and where will the fine folks see
you
next time?
I had a blast, actually. Like, this was a lot of fun. I expected to be in a worse mood today, apparently. That went away as soon as the game started, so that's
good.
Yes. Also, I had like another cup of coffee like an hour ago, which is currently high kicking in, so I'm a bit, you know, just twitching in space, in place.
Since we're on Twitch.
Yes. I had a lot of fun. Also happy to see that like one of the family members I wrote up finally showed up, because as mentioned before, I wrote up an entire stupid family tree.
Yep, and I wanted to make sure that got pulled in.
Show up at some point.
Yep.
But yeah, people can find me on Tumblr and on Instagram, where I occasionally post my art stuffs. At Taritunes. And other than that, on various Tuesdays, you can find me here on this same bad channel. Not at the same bedtime. So.
That's true. Earlier.
What's happening? Right. Either for this game here with these lovely people, or for Gamebook Illustration Streams. Currently, we are playing Final Fantasy. Something.
29 for Midnight Rogue.
Midnight Rogue, that was the name.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The stealth and burglary one where we played a character who can't open locks.
They can now, fortunately. We restart, yes.
They can now, yes.
And we should be wrapping it up. This next session should be the last one of those, I believe. If all goes
and
well.
And what's going to be the next book then?
Book 30, which is a big one. I think it's called Chasms of Malice.
Is that how you pronounce it? Chasms.
Eventually, chasms? Fighting Fantasy just started putting together like mountains of destiny.
No, the mountain one was the Warlock of Firetop one.
Yeah, well, that was the first one, yes. But I'm just saying, yeah. Like, they just combined some doom sounding word with some geographical
the mountain
feature.
Mountain of
trees
cliffside.
Of cliffside of horror, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So.
Yes. So yeah, do check in for that, and of course, I'll be here for Archon for this year game.
I'm very excited about that. Thank you, Tari. It's always a pleasure. Moving right on up the line, and thanks again to Tari for all of the amazing artwork that you see here, most of which is by her, the overlays and the character art and stuff like that. Moving right on up the line to Brad. Brad, again, good stuff from Cal. I had a feeling that Cal was going to be doing some of the work of like asking some of the questions that was necessary, but then early on, I was wondering if anyone was going to check the donkey, because there was a realistic scenario where it would have just been like, you know, like Titch looking at the axle and being like, here's how you fix it, but nobody wondering right. Why this donkey, which doesn't seem to have been stirred to action since, you know, it was born, why all of a sudden it would have acted this way. So you were the one who found the needle and found that other stuff and sort of set up for what was going to happen next. And there's this kind of, I don't know if you meant to have Cal be this way, but in addition to Cal's general interest in maps and things like that, there's kind of a semi-analytical approach, it feels to me, like Cal takes with some things about how the way certain things ought to be, that is a nice juxtaposition with some of the more impulsive members of the party who don't think about it in exactly that same fashion. How did you feel about today's...
Impulsive members in this party?
I, you know, listen. what did you think of today's session? More of the fine folks, find you next.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. And, you know, Cal... I didn't really know what to think about him at first, you know, but as time is going on, he's kind of developing into a bit of a guide, you know, and trying to wrangle a bit as things go along, which fits him in a way as a, you know, a guy who's inquisitive, a messenger. He knows a lot of people, and so he can kind of handle a bunch of different situations, you know, as I envisioned him. So yeah, it was fun. And I just want to put in a nod to the game designers, actually, because, you know, our previous Erebor adventures had a very Lord of the Rings feel to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know the full breadth of the adventures in this game set at this point, but this feels like very Hobbit game centric. It creates that feel of the Hobbit and the Shire and sort of the innocence. It isn't quite the right word, but close to that, right? It's just not as heavy and dark as Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And so it's just hitting all the right buttons for me in terms of like what I loved about The Hobbit when I first read it, when I still read it, still my favorite book. And so it's just super fun to be going through the adventure. And we haven't even explored all the rules yet in this new game, you know, but it's really well done, you know. So for people out there looking for sort of lighthearted adventure, which I appreciate right now at this point in my life, just because since the pandemic, you know, I've been kind of looking for that type of thing. It's one of the reasons I think we've mentioned Ted Lasso a number of times on the stream, and I like it so much because it is a lighthearted show about a guy who is just kind, you know, and like other people sort of like not grokking that in the beginning and then sort of gravitating to that. And anyway, this is a similar feel to me, kind of light, and it's just fun to be in that kind of mode, you know, as opposed to the darker Lord of the Rings style thing. So, yeah, well done game designers, well done R for running that type of game accurately, you know.
And I will
creating that feel.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I will, and I totally agree with that. And I will mention also quickly that since we are playing, you know, Shire Adventures at the moment, definitely that is the emphasis point. And I definitely wanted a lighter campaign, especially because not only for reasons you said about real life, but just even, you know, Erebor Adventures was intense. I mean, like, and Wilderland Adventures too. Yeah, like, it was up. It was intense, and I think it, and it was for me and a wonderful experience to play this with all of you. But it was definitely, there was a lot going on there. It was a lot of heaviness, and so they wanted something lighter. I'm sure that as they get into some of the other kind of conditions, and you know, that thing that it may darken slightly again. But you're right that the tone of it, I think, feels differently. And again, it's like something that I talk about all the time about this question of what stakes mean. That stakes don't have to require the destruction of Sauron in the ring, right? It can also be stakes that have seemingly less significance to the outside, but great significance to the hobbits internally. And
personal, right?
Yeah, and so there's a kind of historical element to this, but there's also a sense of let's explore the stuff that is powerful for the hobbits and kind of getting the band back together. It's one of the reasons that I didn't want Bilbo to dominate this. I just wanted him to be, you know, characters going along with him. So
yeah.
But anyway, where will the fine folks find you next, Brad?
Yeah, so nothing coming up right away, but I will have Gen Con is not too far around the corner at this point. I was invited to a speaking engagement at a book festival in central Wisconsin, but that's not till later this year. So I'll tell everyone about that as it comes closer. And then otherwise, we got ARFCon coming up. Looking forward to that.
Very excited for ARFCon. Glad to have you as a part of it. Thank you, Brad. Good stuff as always. And Hobbit's my favorite. As you know, Hobbit is also my favorite book, so I'm with you about that. Actually, my son is listening right now to the NPR audio version of The Hobbit, which is like a thing that my family and I share. Very quirky and fun in its own way. Last but certainly not least, Amal, I know it's been a lot over the last few days with moves and then viral tweets and other matters, good and bad. And so I hope this, despite my mistake at talking about roast chicken, but other than that, I hope that this was helpful in forgetting a little bit of the craziness of that and getting invested in the craziness of what Coriander gets up to. And again, Coriander is sort of sunshiny, like the kind of delighted way that she takes on the world, even when it's taking things from the world that don't necessarily belong to her but need to be relieved of their previous owners. That is always a lot of fun to watch take place. And again, I love the balancing off of all of the characters, but in particular, like the fact that it's very hard to stay mad at someone like Coriander, I imagine, especially if you're Titch, where like you're just like, I will smother you in my respect for you, even though you're like, okay, I don't, you know. So there was that. And of course, you're going to have the opportunity to, you did get the vial and the needle from this guy. So we got other mechanical things that happened from Coriander also. Now Coriander's grounded. Dun, dun, dun. So we'll see what the impact of that is. But leaving that aside, how did you feel about today's session? Where will the fine folks find you next?
It was really fun. It was really fun. It's just a delight. And I'm sorry, I'm very vague because I am starving.
Okay, no, I know. I understand.
But I did want to say that re-nonsense and virality and stuff, Time War is currently number 15 now.
Wow, let's go.
So it has broken the top 20.
15!
And while this session has happened, a journalist from Slate emailed to ask if I wanted to talk about the surreality of this whole thing, and so we'll see.
Nice.
So I don't know, look out for that. Other than that, where people can find me next, I am not going to be very available on the internet most of this month. This was basically the last thing for a while. We need to actually put books on shelves. Hopefully by the next time I'm on the stream, it will be less echoey. Thank you everyone who has put up with that in the chat. Nothing really I can do about it presently, but hopefully by next time it will be sorted. So here generally, but or you can sign up for my newsletter and I don't know, learn more about this very wacky thing.
About the wacky stuff, I know. Yeah. That's good, yeah. I can't wait for the people to know more about that than about you, for what, like, people outside the field just be like, what? Yeah, I saw this tweet.
Nicholas incident.
Yeah, I remember that.
Carrie, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I realized the thing. So today was about, a cart accident and a needle. And last time we were involved in something like that, you know, there was like a fire in town and somebody died.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
And there was like a whole thing about that was horribly depressing.
Wait, what?
When Bolo joined our company, it was about a cart accident and a needle.
Oh my God. Oh, right. No.
That's right.
Oh no!
A seamstress or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
oh,
this
no.
is parallel. Maybe this is all happening at the same time.
That was your first adventure with us, Brad.
And Amal, given how hungry you are, you don't have time to roast a chicken, so go microwave a Roadrunner. That should balance it out.
Good eats.
I honestly don't know what I'm waking up. So, anyways, I will leave you guys now. But
do we have Roadrunners in Canada?
No, I don't think so. I think they are more of a southern thing.
Yeah, desert-y type.
Desert.
Yeah.
Instead,
they
just
do
moose.
Actually eat rodents, though. They are like predators a little bit. Small amount, I think. If I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken. I'm very vague.
All right, I'm going to say goodbye to all of you. Bye, and say goodbye to all these lovely folks. Can we get some love for the wonderful Shire Adventures crew? You'll see three of them for ARVCon and the whole crew back next month. Thank you to Amal, to Brad, to Tari, and to Trent. Great work today, players. Bye for now. All right. And that, folks, is going to do it for us for today. And it's going to do it for our this portion of the continued epic adventure that has been sponsored by Free League. And again, I want to thank Free League for sponsoring us with Shire Adventures. They made it possible for us to get some of these overlays and things like that. There's also a podcast which is going to be on the way. The plan is for that to begin next month, basically after ARVCon. So if you've been checking out my Curse of Strahd podcast, there's going to be something like that, except it's going to be for this. It's going to be a podcast for Shire Adventures, which I think is going to be pretty great. So I'm excited about that. But this was a lot of fun, and again, it's a great system, so I'm excited to be able to play it and to bring it to all of you and to enjoy this at a very different level of intensity than the last one might have been.